Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Francis Butler on TRE.
Nadia Boulanger's Trois Pièces Vite et Neuvissement Rythmé, one of Nadia Boulanger's Three Pieces, a movement that I've just said in the original French, of course, subtitled rather obviously fast and nervously rhythmic. So let me say hello again and welcome back. And that music was played by Raffaello Gromes on the cello and Julian Rehm on the piano. Nadia Boulanger, daughter of a Russian princess and her highly strung septuagenarian music teacher at the Paris Conservatoire. Nadia Boulanger emerged at a time that was experiencing great musical changes, indeed revolution, as post-romanticism moved into the musically uncertain world of impressionism, symbolism, and what many considered to be total atonalism and anarchy. She was one of the great protagonists of French 20th century music, teacher, conductor, and composer, but unhappy in so much that she underrated her own music, having been overshadowed by her young child prodigy sister, Lily Boulanger, who had died a particularly unpleasant form of tuberculosis at the age of 24 in 1918. The tragedy of unfulfilled sibling relationships. Well, Fanny and Felix Mendelssohn, their sibling relationship was surely fulfilled. But Fanny, the elder of the two, was handicapped simply by virtue of being a woman whose artistic talents were rated at best superficial by the conventions of her times. Although she wrote upward of 450 works, her earlier pieces had to be published in her younger brother's name. Who knows what was lost in such stifling circumstances, and despite being favoured by their music teacher, the famous composer Karl Friedrich Zelter, who compared Fanny to J.S. Bach himself. He told her father, "Music will perhaps become Felix's profession, while for you, Fanny, it can and must be only an ornament." One might have hoped that in marrying the successful society portrait painter Wilhelm Hensel, she would have found a greater degree of encouragement, but it was not to be. Herr Hensel was the son of a zealous Protestant preacher who believed that her sex and upper middle class status forbade her work in any form whatsoever. Although encouraging to a point, his inability to sing even one long sustained note, which was F according to Felix, public musical performances were strictly verboten and were not on the agenda for the unfortunate Fanny. Felix wrote in his diary, "For my knowledge of Fanny, I should say she has neither the inclination or vocation for authorship. She is too much all that a woman ought to be for this. She regulates her house and never thinks of the public nor the musical world, nor even of music at all, until her first duties are fulfilled. Publishing would only disturb her in these, and I really cannot say I approve of it."
Thank you.
German pianist Beatrice Rauch playing the fifth of six melodies by Fanny Mendelssohn. Meantime, Emmanuel As Yo-Yo Ma and Ishak Perlman perform the Andante con moto tranquillo from Felix Mendelssohn's first piano trio in D minor.
Thank you. TRE.
Talk Radio Europe.
Musical Ramblings, presented by Francis Butler.
Thank you.
The bright young French trumpeter Lucien Renaudin-Vary playing a trumpet transcription of Vedrò com'io di letto by Vivaldi from his opera Giustino, first performed during the Roman Carnival in 1724. See with my beloved, the soul of my soul, the core of my heart, the heart of contentment. And it was transcribed for the trumpet and orchestra by Nakamura, who is, according to my sources, either a chess player or a footballer. There is an Eita Nakamura and a Haruka Nakamura too, but it's all in hiragana or katagana alphabet, and so I'm none the wiser, I am afraid. Well, jazz and classical trumpet, really, for Lucien Renaudin-Vary to play like that and to have been born only, would you believe, in 1999. On the Warner Brothers biographical website, Philippe Duchemin, would you believe, is quoted as saying, to have the kind of authority and insight Lucien has as a trumpet player, you would have to be 40 years old. Well, who might Philippe Duchemin be, one asks? Well, he is a French jazz pianist purporting... No, that's unfair. Described as playing in the manner of Oscar Peterson, c'est. Nymphs, however, were very much the rage in Baroque Europe. One might even say that Europe was overcome with nymphomania. So it is hardly surprising that Vivaldi found enough time to write an opera called La Fida Nympha, The Faithful Nymph. A strangely oxymoronic title that renders the idea of a nymphomaniac redundant, actually. The synopsis is complicated, but whatever the nymph's dilemma, she finds herself in a tight corner, chained and bound in a subterranean cellar before Act One is even over, a situation that enables the French soprano Sandra Pio to sing the wonderfully exciting aria Alma oppressa da sorte crudeli. My soul is oppressed by cruel fate. You think in vain to placate the pain with love, which is yet another pain. I beseech you, pull yourself together, check your thoughts, and if you are not insane, concern yourself with the chain on your ankle, not on your heart. Cue Sandra Pio, bound, but obviously not gagged. Thank you. Splendid Sandra Pio singing from Vivaldi's opera La Fida Ninfa, with Jean-Christophe Espinoso conducting the ensemble Matthäus. Now, Natalia Pasichnika is a Swedish-Ukrainian pianist who lives in the fair city of Stockholm, and her sister Olga Pasichnika is an accomplished Polish-Ukrainian soprano, and they often perform together. But in this instance, I am going to indulge you with Natalia and her production of an extraordinary and original album called Rethinking the Well-Tempered Clavier, which, as the name implies, is a highly personal representation and interpretation of Johann Sebastian Bach's 24 Preludes and Fugues. Or, as Navona Records explains in its publicity blurb, her intellectual yet spiritual take on the matter is likely to be exactly what the composer envisioned. Well, that's worth debating another day. And guided by Bach's assertion that music's ultimate purpose is to glorify God and rejuvenate the spirit, Pasichnika explores the intersection between divine inspiration and human experience. The result is a veritable tour de force of strength and sensitivity, of rational perspicuity, yet with the most tender sentiment of surging vigour and might, but also of nonchalant lightness. A triumph. Well, bravo, I say. A triumph. A veritable triumph indeed, possibly a little hyperbolic for my taste. Certainly it must have been translated from a language less restrained than English, perhaps. There's a large range of linguistic options, I would say. But nevertheless, it's very interesting and very well worth listening to. So, Natalia Pasichnika is joined by the Leipzig-based vocal quintet, the Kalmus Ensemble, in their production of a piece of music they call Erkennt die rechten Freudenstunden, after Johann Sebastian Bach's Fugue in A minor.
Ihr kennt die rechten Freudenstunden. Ihr weiß,
ihr kennt die rechten Freudenstunden. Ihr weiß wo.
TRE. Talk Radio Europe.
Musical Ramblings with Francis Butler.
Well, we're listening before the break to Natalia Pasichnicka and the Kalmus Ensemble playing a transcription of sorts on Bach's Fugue in A minor from the Well-Tempered Clavier. Now, Louis Clapisson was a French violinist, songwriter and composer of 21 comic operas and one grand opera in the mid-19th century. And four marks, if you can admit to never having heard of him before, because, to be honest with you, I hadn't. He was, however, a greatly respected teacher at the Paris Conservatoire and features briefly in Marcel Proust's La Recherche de Temps Perdu. And on his death in 1866 at the age of 57, the cemetery at Montmartre was jam-packed with almost the entire membership of the Académie des Beaux-Arts, professors, students, weeping sopranos, tenors, choruses, and the band of the French National Guard. They did him proud. Now, Cyril Dubois is what I like to call a young singer, which means he's not quite 40. And he has performed in La Scala, Glyndebourne, Wigmore Hall, and is still adding to the list. And he has a degree, would you believe, in fishery science, which I suppose is hardly unexpected since he was born in Oustrahem, famous, of course, for its oysters. Le Code Noir refers to a decree passed by Louis XIV that sought to control the French slave trade. Now, Louis Clapisson used the name for one of his comic operas, and it is set in Martinique. And it begins with the protagonist, Donation, being sold in the slave market along with his mother, Zamba. Actually, the operetta was very ahead of its time and contributed to a change in public thought that resulted in the abolition of slavery in France and its colonies 6 years later in 1848. Cyril Dubois sings Non, vous n'aurez pas, adieu, toi ma pauvre mère. He's singing to his poor old mother in the slave market as they're sold off.
Cette esclave promise à votre cruauté, j'échappe au tyran que je brave, en mes mains est la liberté. J'échappe au tyran que je brave, j'ai dans mes mains la liberté.
Oh!
Cyril Dubois singing an aria from Le Code Noir by Louis Clapisson. Now, I think we move on to a Baroque oratorio by the late 18th century Italian composer Antonio Caldara, who wrote a lot of oratorios and masses and religious music in Naples and Rome, and in particular an oratorio about Mary Magdalene, who by all biblical sources, of course, lived in the fast lane of Judea, so to speak. And in this part of the story, Magdalena was washing the feet of Christ with her remorseful tears and drying them with her copious tresses before anointing them with perfumed oil in the house of Simon the Pharisee, begging forgiveness and offering a life of devotion and penitence. Now, during the High Renaissance, artists throughout Catholic Europe seemed intent on focusing upon Mary Magdalene before rather than after her repentance. And it would seem that in Italy, in particular, churches, basilicas, and cathedrals abound with paintings of a wild, reckless-looking Magdalena en déshabillé in a permanent state of decidedly ambiguous ecstasy, not unlike Bernini's extraordinary sensuous ecstasy of Saint Teresa of Avila, who, despite remaining in her habit and wimple, has all but surrendered to the half-naked young angel holding aloft his piercing arrow. Now, I'm aware that I digress, but it is really also fascinating. I mean, there's Saint Teresa obviously depicted at the delectable moment of orgasm, and yet the Roman Catholic Church always accepted, by way of explaining the statue's very presence in the church of Santa Maria della Vittoria, that the mystical union often involved erotic moments. And I quote someone in the Vatican, and that besides, there is absolutely no nudity on display, which is true. Well, yeah. Music, of course, now was a very different matter. Divine inspiration and solace were constantly sought after by the faithful congregations, and this could be helped along with the aid of sacred music. The contrast really couldn't be greater. So here we have aria number 10, it is so titled, En un bivio y el mio voleri, the crossroads of my will, and that is my own free will to make up my own choices. Maria Cristina Kier sings Maddalena's vow of sanctity in Antonio Caldara's Maddalena ai piedi di Cristo, for which she won a Grammy Award in 1997.
Thank you.
after Maria Cristina Kehr singing from the oratorio Maddalena at the Feet of Christ, we then listened to Mythologies, or Mythologie in French, of course, which was a 2022 ballet choreographed by Angelin Préjocage and Thomas Bangalter, and was performed by 20 members of the Ballet Préjocage and the Ballet de l'Opéra de Bordeaux, and described as a series of scenes inspired by founding myths that shape the collective imagination. And what we listened to then was the passage called The Gorgons, Les Gorgones. Pretty exciting stuff. I mean, the Gorgons, those three fearsome women or female monsters with snakes in their hair, Stetno, Euryale, and the most famous of them all, Medusa, who turned anyone who looked at them into stone, petrified them, quite literally. Medusa was the only mortal one, and so was slain by Perseus. Apollodorus was a sort of a second-century guide to classical mythology, described the Gorgons as having heads twined about with the scales of dragons and great tusks like swines, and brazen hands and golden wings by which they flew. And time flies too, sadly enough, and I must bid you all a hasty farewell. And I thought I would leave you with London-born Anna Silvera singing Pont Mirabeau from her 2022 album, The Fabulist. And so, until next week, I leave you with the delightful Anna Silvera. Goodbye.
She wore hand-me-down leather in the trees. Seemed to dance with an unseen lover when she walks on the banks, wind lashed, raining the boat lamps, looking for dawn and the cranes, making their neat pirouettes, the ashes of park fires that fell on the ledge of the Pont Mirabeau, where she toasts you alone and sings with the wind that she'll never find home. She sang, oh, come near me, 'cause it's been too long a time. Oh, oh, come near me, sous le pont Mirabeau coule la Seine, la joie venait toujours après la peine. Sous le pont Mirabeau coule la Seine, la joie venait toujours après la peine. After the night falls, this love will remain. Of a lover still felt like the ebb of those tides on the river, pulling her back to that shore. And she will not forget, can never redress, how she didn't turn when the moment was set, and how history is filled with such tomes of regret. She was a coward, he went unmet. She sang, oh, come near me, 'cause it's been too long a time. Oh, oh, come near me, sous le pont Mirabeau coule la Seine, la joie venait. Sous le pont Mirabeau. she walks on the banks, wind-lashed, rain in the pool, dams, looking for dawn.
TRE. Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.